You don't have to raise your hand on this question, but do you ever find yourself struggling to do what you know is right? Do you ever find yourself struggling to do what you know is right? I think all of us find ourselves struggling at different times to know, to do what we know is right. Sometimes, do you give in to what you might consider small sins? You know, Satan knows our weaknesses. And a lot of times he comes at us indirectly. He usually won't just come straight at us, but he'll come in from the side. And he'll try to deceive us into thinking that it's okay to disobey God and that we won't suffer any harm from it. But I want you to know this morning, there is never a time when it's okay to disobey God. Never a time. Regardless of the conditions, the circumstances, whatever, it is never okay to disobey God. Today, you will be confronted with choices. The choice will be, will I obey God or will I not? And it will be that straightforward. Because those are the only two options we have. There's not a third. There's not no such thing as partial obedience, because partial obedience is disobedience. We either obey God or we don't. Obedience this morning is a choice. It's a choice. We're never forced to disobey. We never have to disobey. We choose to do what's right. We choose to obey God. And when we do that, it helps us avoid lots of heartaches. The Bible emphasizes over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, the need for us to obey. I didn't look up how many times the word obey was used in the Old and New Testament, but certainly it would take a long time to count. And the Bible emphasizes how important that obedience is and that we must choose to do it. And those choices come every day. Many times every day, we must choose. In Acts chapter 5, we're first told there that we must choose to obey God. Acts chapter 5, you'll no doubt remember the circumstances of this. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. The apostles are on trial. And notice what their response is when they are brought before those judges. Verse 29 says, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" What should we choose to do? We ought to obey God. That is ultimately what we're responsible for, is obeying God. But it's a choice we make. And it consists of lots of little choices we make throughout the day. Little choices we make to obey God or not to obey God. Some we think aren't a big deal, but every instance when we choose to disobey God, it is harmful in some way or another to our soul, to our spirit, to our eternal home. The Hebrew writer tells us the significance of obedience when he writes in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. And I know you've heard this verse many times, but think about it in terms of choosing to obey. Verse 9 of Hebrews 5 says, "And having been perfected," talking about Jesus the Son, "he became the author," or the source, "of eternal salvation to all who obey him." See the need there? Only those people who obey him are given eternal life. He's the source of it. He's the author. He's the originator of eternal salvation. But it is not given to everyone, only those people who make those choices to obey. And again, those choices come throughout the day, every day. We make choices to obey, or we make choices to disobey. In Galatians chapter 5, that book that we've been studying on Sunday morning that David's been leading us through, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul writes, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Who hindered you from obeying the truth? It's a choice. We can obey the truth or not. Or as it's put in Acts chapter 6, obeying the faith. It's the same thing. In Acts chapter 6, we learn about a group of people who responded to the gospel, and it says they were obedient to the faith. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. "Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." What were they obedient to? The faith, the truth, the gospel, God's word, which meant they were obedient to God and they were obedient to Christ. They chose to obey. Obedience is a choice, and a choice we must make, and a choice we must make several times a day. Whom am I going to obey? And we always suffer when we disobey. Regardless of what Satan tries to tell us or deceive us, you know, he's the great liar. So he tries to make us believe that in this instance or that instance, it's okay to disobey God. No harm will come. But that's his job. I mean, that's his job. He's trying to deceive as many people into believing that as possible. Because he doesn't want to be lonely. He knows his destination is fixed. He knows where he's going to spend eternity. And he wants as many to join him as possible. So the more people he deceives into disobeying God, the happier he is. But he does not have the power to force anybody to disobey. That is our choice, to obey or disobey. And that obedience is not some sort of cold, ritualistic type of obedience. It's an obedience that comes from the heart. In Romans chapter 6, Paul stressed that when he wrote to the church at Rome. He said in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, "But God be thanked, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." You obeyed from the heart. It has to involve your emotions. It involves your will. It involves your whole person. So obedience, when we talk about it coming from the heart, it comes from the mind, it comes from the emotions, it comes from the will. See, it's a choice. I determine to obey God. I will obey God. It's a choice. There are countless examples, Old and New Testament, of people who chose to obey or people who chose to disobey. And those examples are left for us to learn. What does it mean to obey? What does it mean to disobey? Why did this person obey and why did that person not obey? And again, we can learn so much from their example if we'll let them. In Genesis chapter 12, we have one of the first examples of obedience and what it means to obey. Genesis chapter 12, we have the account of Abram. This was before he was ever called Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. What did Abram have to do? He had to trust God. When we obey God, we're trusting God. As we'll see in a little bit, blessings accompany obedience. So we have to trust God when we obey that He will fulfill His promises. So trust is a significant part of obedience, whether it's those small things we think about or not. Later, when he is called Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, I know you remember this account of Abraham and his son. In Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac." Notice how God emphasized the fact that this was his only son. And remember, he had promised Abraham that through him there would be a great nation. Well, there's only one son, and notice what God's going to tell him to do. "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." Again, that's trusting and that's obeying. We skip down to verse 9. "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son, his son of promise." This son of promise. "And laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." He trusted and obeyed. He trusted God, that God somehow would still fulfill His promise. See, that's what obedience comes down to. Is trust. You trust God or you don't trust God. If you trust God, you'll obey. If you don't trust God, you won't. So it's about trusting God. We move to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. This is the story of Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 18. Beginning in verse 1. "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name is Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done, and talked about him removing the high places and so forth. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him, for he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went." Notice what obedience involved. He trusted in the Lord God. He held fast to the Lord. And he did not depart from following him. What did he do? He kept his commandments. What an amazing example. An amazing example. But all the good examples aren't in the Old Testament. There's wonderful ones in the New Testament as well. In Luke chapter 5, we find a great example of obedience and what it means. Luke chapter 5, this is the account of Peter. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And so two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he, referring to Christ, got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. That's a great response. Been fishing all night long. What'd you catch? Absolutely nothing. Not a thing. Period. So Christ tells him, and Peter knew very little at this time. So Christ tells him, will you let your nets down? And Peter says, well, we haven't caught anything. Nevertheless. That's a great word in that response. Nevertheless, I'll do what you say. Trust and obey. Nevertheless. And that's what our obedience needs to be. Nevertheless, I will do it. Trust and obey. All of these people and countless others that we could talk about chose to obey. None of those people we talked about were forced to obey. Abram could have stayed in Haran. Hezekiah could have chose not to obey. Peter could have said, we have fished all night. I'm tired. I think I'm going home. He could have said that. He wasn't forced to let down the nets. Nevertheless, he did. Obedience is a choice. Obedience is a choice. Great to small, makes no difference. Obedience is a choice. Throughout the day, we make choices to obey or not to obey. And listen to some of the blessings that come from obedience. Again, in both the Old and the New, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, in the second recounting of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 28, read a few verses there, beginning in verse 1. And my Bible even has as a heading, blessings on obedience. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. We skip down to verse 15. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. That goes back to what I said at the very beginning. There is never a time when it's okay to disobey God. Harm will always come in some way. Sometimes it's physical harm. It's always spiritual harm. So it's never okay. In Proverbs chapter 3, we read about the blessings of obedience. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You will be a better person by obeying. And just the opposite, if you choose to disobey, you'll be less of one. And then finally in the New Testament, we're also told about blessings. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer informs us about the importance of obedience. We'll read some from Hebrews chapter 12 and some from 13. Beginning in verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. See, there's the choice. There's the choice. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Throw off the sin and keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what he said. Then the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? There's a marvelous blessing right there. See, obedience is a choice. Our life is all about those little choices to obey or not to obey. We get up in the morning, all throughout the day, choices, choices, choices. Will I obey or will I not? Even the ones we consider so small are so important because it's never okay to disobey God. And we know what disobedience will ultimately result in. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says that Jesus is going to be revealed from heaven with his angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the end of all who choose to disobey. Everlasting punishment, it goes on to say. Everlasting punishment. Obedience is a choice. You chose this morning to come to services. It was a great choice. This day will be filled with choices. Tomorrow, you're going to wake up, you're going to have to make choices. Every day, until it's your last day, will be filled with choices. To do what you know is right, or choose not to. No one will force you. Satan does not have the power to cause you, to force you in any way. It's your choice. And it will always be your choice. Just like this morning, choice to become a New Testament Christian. A choice to confess wrong and ask for prayers. It's a choice that everyone must make. And if you need to make that this morning, then we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this next song.